it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because all are welcome, of course, to Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I'm here with a woman who is so incredible, you wonder if her underwear is edible, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
How are you?
I am surprisingly in a chipper mood.
I know. I commented on that, and you berated me about it, but, you know, we're moving on.
I didn't berate. I defended myself against your withering, scathing sarcasm.
What?
Against the critique that falls from you like
what?
Beautiful rain from a summer sky.
Okay. Because, you know, I don't wear underwear. I couldn't let that go. I just, you know, like I had to, like it was hanging out there and I like had to correct it. It's just one of the, I hate misconceptions, you
when
know?
When I thought about, I was debating myself whether or not you would actually use edible underwear. And I must admit that you not wearing underwear wasn't, it just, again.
Didn't even.
Again, you were just two steps ahead of me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Always the alternate option.
Well, I think we may have already done our parental advisory, but I know you have one, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You don't have one. That was it, huh?
We're not going to start the show with a parental advisory. What are you talking about?
Right.
We're going to start the show the way we always start the show.
Yes.
With the Trump-Pence report.
Oh, dun, 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 dun. No.
Trump-Pence report. 1 week in Trump-Erica. Many things went down this week. Many racists suggested for national office. Today, I want to talk to you just really briefly, Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions, our potential attorney general. If you don't know, Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, where they grow them racist right and they make them to last.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Sessions in the 80s during the Reagan administration, was proffered to be a federal judge. This is before he was a senator, proffered to be a federal judge. And he was he did make it through the nomination process because they considered him too racist at the time, really, to be a federal judge. And this fascinates me. It captivates me because I want to know. I just want to point out how racist do you have to be for a bunch of white senators in Reagan's America to look at you and say, you know what? I think you're a little bit over the line.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, that's a little bit too much. Like, that's got to be, like, you've got to be, like, a really
you're hardcore
championship level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did he wear his Klansman hood to the nomination ceremony? How did that go down?
He had the little insignia pin on his lapel while he was sitting there. Something
like
teed him off.
Because
these
guys are used to racists. These guys are down with race, but
right.
No,
but not him.
Exactly. He's going to be our new top cop, and that is your Pence Trump report.
All right.
For the week, we're going to give our suggestion, our weekly suggestion for nonviolent artistic protest. The nonviolent artistic protest suggestion of this week is gather in the mall in Washington to play a game of catch. Write on every ball the word pussy. Throw it around and just grab that ball out of the air. It's better if you have a big sign calling it the Donald Trump gender relation game of catch.
Oh,
and there's your suggestion for the week.
That was lovely, Clinton. Absolutely lovely. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I love you a little bit more right now. I really do.
Yeah.
Do you know who's even lovelier than that?
Who?
Our first guest, Sally Rose!
On the phone!
How's it going, guys?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. That was the best radio introduction I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, it's all for you, Sally. It's all for you.
You know, I was literally, like, in the last 10 minutes, I was like, I wonder if I can say pussy on the radio. You guys beat me to it.
So you're here to talk about your new album.
Yeah.
And just be specific, it's the album for your band, because you have many musical incarnations
in
town. You are a busy beaver. You're like, you're doing photo shoots. You're in a gajillion different bands. Mm-hmm. This is, you were in Work magazine. Don't say you weren't, because I saw you there. I saw you there.
We've been pretty busy as far as we got back from tour.
How was tour?
It was so much fun, you guys. It was great. It was Shagwell's first, more than a weekend tour. So we were gone all of July. And
how far did Shagwell go in this tour? How what was the extent of your tour range?
So it was an East Coast tour. We went as far south as Athens and as far north as Boston.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So much fun.
So now you guys,
that's good.
So now you guys have a new album coming out.
We do, yeah. We recorded and produced the new record in Richmond at Montrose Studios. We hit the studio as soon as we got back from the road and tracked out and laid down 32 minutes of music in 36 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a little furious.
So I guess that's how the name for the album came up?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, called it.
So the name of the album is the name of the album. Tell us the name of the album.
Salvaje.
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 That's a great thing. That's a great name. I wonder if people are going to think that it's an album of Latino music. Did you consider that?
Of Latin culture, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So Pablo is the one who he said that over and over again when we were on the road. We kind of just fell in love with it, because anytime the van would break down, or we would run out of coffee money, or we would leave cables at a venue, probably just be like, Salvaje. You're like, well, that's kind of a theme we got going on here, so kind of ran with it.
So why did you choose Montrose Studio in Richmond?
So do you guys know Van Avers out of Richmond?
We don't. I don't.
No.
So they're one of our favorite bands. They're just super high energy psychedelic rock band. Kind of like modern day Beatles, but in a non-pretentious way. And the really cool thing about them is they have a rotating cast of front men. So there's a ton of people in the band, and they all take turns stepping to the front of the stage and singing the song, which is really cool. But their guitarist, Adrian, works at Montrose, and we really just wanted him to have his hands on the record and help produce us, and that's what we made happen there.
That's awesome. So how long, you said you laid down 36 minutes of music in a half an hour. So how long did it take you to record the whole, was that the whole thing?
That's the whole thing.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, we had 3 weekends booked at the studio, and, the first weekend we were going to lay down, all the basic rhythm tracks first. So, drums, bass, guitar, we're going to do all that live. And then the second weekend, we're going to do all the vocals and overdubs and then start mixing the third weekend. But it was very clear, the first night we were in the studio, we were in there for 10 hours and we just knocked out all of the bass tracks. And we were like, okay. And then the next day we went in and we did all the vocals and overdubs and we were like, well, we still have 2 weeks left.
Yeah, I guess, didn't you guys go to rock band school? Because isn't recording supposed to be that the first day everybody shows up 7 hours late,
hungover.
The second day somebody storms out because they ran out of tequila,
right?
The third day the band breaks up,
right?
The fourth day nothing happens because everyone's out angry at each other. The fifth day the band gets back together, somebody gets more tequila,
right?
And, oh, you got it.
And then it's only after the sixth day, once the coke starts coming in, that you actually start recording stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. All I thought that was the way it was supposed to go.
They obviously got so much done over, you know, being on tour for a month. They were just so tight. They just knocked it out.
Wow.
That was the whole secret there. And, that, you know, it was definitely intentional, but it was totally effortless. We'd been playing the exact same set, you know, for a month straight and, like, wrote a couple new songs. And so we just had all this energy and couldn't wait to nail it.
That's awesome.
Cool. So the majority of these songs are songs that you guys had been playing on tour?
Yes. Yeah. Every single one of them, except for Hold Stay Rich, which we wrote in the studio pretty much. And that was really cool.
Were they new before you went on tour, or are these songs that Shagwell fans are going to recognize?
Most of them were new before we went on tour. We did redo a couple of the songs that people really love, like Swampy and Cassolette, and Fight Like a Girl. Those are kind of crowd favorites. But
So did you use the tour as an opportunity to work these songs and tweak these songs? And I mean, were you thinking about using the tour? Whoa, hey. dropping our phone here. Hold on.
Sorry.
You still there? Oh, there you go. We didn't lose you. That's the first time we've dropped a guest on this show.
I know.
Oh, guys, I can handle it.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to bruise you, Sally.
I got this. We're good.
So were you conscious during the tour of using the tour as an opportunity to hone these songs or work these songs at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, there were a few songs that, like, have these crazy time changes, and even though we all knew the songs and we practiced them and, like, you know, we all wrote them together, it was, like, always a little interesting going into those, like, crazy time changes. And after playing them, you know, every single night, it was, like, 28 days out of a month that we were playing. And, it became, like, muscle memory playing song. So
that's awesome.
That was pretty sweet for us.
So when is the next Shagwolf show? Like, when can we see this performed?
So we are having technically we had like a soft opening last night in Harrisonburg, which is why I don't have a voice right now. But we are having
how did it go?
I know. Oh, it was great. We played with, do you guys know Cyber Twin, we played with Cyber Twin. We played with band Never Knots we met in Wilmington. And then we played with Do the People for the People, and if you guys don't know them yet, you should, because they're awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great lineup.
Oh, it was awesome. It was totally eclectic. There's a surf rock band, and then, Cyber Twins, like, you know, your typical hardcore, like, punk rock band. And then Do the People for the People is, like, this awesome up-and-coming hip-hop group, which is also in that Work magazine that just came out that I'm in. And they're just, like, the coolest dudes. They got, you know, like, I said some political things last night, and then they said a bunch of political stuff last night, and it was just really, really special to be playing in a room full of people that was totally eclectic, people of all different backgrounds, all different styles of music, and it was just this huge feeling of togetherness and solidarity and unity and love and everybody supporting each other. It got kind of heavy a few times, which is good because people need to be talking about what's going on.
That's what art can do.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a weapon, a kill stash, and it's a pretty great, tool to be able to communicate like that.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see whether or not as things progress. That is to say, and why mince words, as this administration takes office and as we see what it will do and what it won't do. Whether or not this feeling continues that I'm starting to sense, where I think a lot of people are energized and a lot of people are motivated and a lot of people are, are building themselves up to speak and to take action and to be heard and say and to say it very, at the very least, whatever goes down, we're going
to
talk about.
I mean,
it.
People are just now starting to be able to like let go of the depression that, you know, the majority of us, because she did win the majority vote.
Yeah, she won the popular vote. Yeah.
She won the popular vote, you know, and that is an absolute sign of hope for our country. But, you know, I think now that people are finally starting to shed that skin of fear and sadness and confusion, people are really starting to, like, be shaken up and realize that it has been a really racist, misogynistic country for a really long time, and it's just been kind of hidden under this veil, and nobody's been doing anything about it. So, you know, as grotesque as the state of things are right now, at least it's waking people up.
Yeah, at this point, I'm almost ready to suggest that that we have a complete alternate steps of political grief, different from the steps of actual grief. So I think the steps of political grief are the first step is shock. The second step is drinking. The third step is wishful thinking. Pulling on the smallest chance that something might happen. The fourth step is depression, and then the fifth step is either activism or binge watching West Wing episodes for.
Oh, you nailed it!
Dreaming of a better day.
you nailed it.
Seriously, if Martin Sheen could be our president, oh wow!
Right.
I vote right there.
Let's stop for some station identification here. Leslie, why don't we do a drop?
All right.
18 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. And if you are just joining us, we are here talking with the inimitable Sally Wolf. Sally Rose, sorry, from Shag Wolf, talking about their new album coming out and their concert coming up on the 20th, right?
Actually, on the 25th. Is that what you said?
My bad. On the 25th. Is that at the Southern?
Yes, that is at the Southern. So it's the day after Thanksgiving, and we're hoping everybody is hungover and sick of their family and wants to get out of the house.
Yes, get out of the house and go rock!
Indeed.
That's right.
So, do I have it correct? Are you guys filming a video today?
We are. So we just released a new music video 2 days ago, which was like, we had a little, this week, because RVA Magazine did like a premiere release of that. But while we were dropping that one, we were still working on the third out of this trilogy video release that we're doing. And they're all singles from the new record. So at 2 today, we're gonna have our last go shooting.
Okay, I don't understand how you have time to do anything. Like, you're in like 4 bands, you're doing videos, you're recording albums in like 2 days. Like, I have a schedule that's crazy, and I am painful right now for you with all the stuff that you do.
Sleep.
You know what, Sally? The good ones never do.
I guess. I'm gonna take that and check my thumbs later.
Sleep is for people dividing their time between the White House and Mar-a-Lago down in Florida.
Oh,
that's right.
Sally, thank you so much for coming on our show. Give us the what, where, and why again for your album and these videos and this concert.
So Friday night, November 25th, doors open at 8:30 p.m. at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall downtown in Charlottesville. And we are playing with two of our favorite bands, Bowl and The Trillions, both from Richmond. And we will be selling our new record, Salvaje, along with a whole new line of merch. We got CDs and koozies and hoodies and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be pretty sweet. You guys should come out.
Thank you so much, Sally. We love you.
I love you guys. It was great talking to you.
Woo-hoo! 21 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. let us talk about just some of the artistic things we've got going on right now in town. Currently running from now till November 29th, you have just a few days left to see American Shakespeare Center's summer slash fall season. They've been doing these plays for so long, they've got to have them down by now. Twelfth Night, King Lear, Henry VI Part 2 by Shakespeare, and of course the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Boom, currently running from now till December 11th, Charlie Brown Christmas at Four County Players. We might just talk a little bit about that as time goes on. November 25th, Bent Theater Improv at the Bridge, PAI. November 29th, auditions for Peter and the Star Catcher at Live Arts. This is, I believe, a prequel to Peter Pan, a musical prequel to Peter Pan. Be prepared to read from the script, do movement, and sing a song if you can carry a tune or play an instrument. Speaking of instruments, let's look at some of the musical options we've got for ourselves today. Jazz small groups at Old Cabell Hall at 7 p.m. Also today, first of three Charlottesville Symphony finalists for their new music director, Benjamin Roos, leads the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra in Stravinsky's The Firebird Suite, Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of the Faun, and works by Ligeti and Mozart. Today also the Jazz Jam Brunch at Fellini's, the Weed Eaters of Prorenata Farm Brewery, and Phyllis Cox Shares sings 50s, 60s, and classics as well as opera at Fellini's. And also, of course, Travis Elliott back at Rapture. Tomorrow, Nelson County Community Orchestra Fall Concert at the Rockfish Valley Community Center Auditorium. The benefit concert for the Dakota Sioux Tribe at the Anteroom. Aw, yeah! Featuring Brittany Wagner, Lee Cussman, Phil West, Boris Majic, William Foster, John Tenney, and Jamie Dyer. Tomorrow, ATM Unit with Jonah Kane West at Rapture. November 22nd, Aaron and the Wildfire and Midnight Snack at Southern Cafe Music Hall. Red and the Romantics at Dirty Nellie's. The Open Mic Night at the Anteroom. Travis Elliott at Fellini's. On the 23rd, it's the Quiet Fire at the Bebedero. Benny Dodd at Heritage on Main. And Thankful Dead. Thankful Dead, we're talking Bigfoot County and Mama Tried doing their Dead covers like no other at the Jefferson Theater. November 25th, Harrisonburg's Illiterate Light at the Whiskey Jar. The Velvet People Collective at Night's Gambit. Vineyard. What about the kids at Glasshouse Winery? And on the 26th, J.J. Von Briesen Trio with Jenna Matthew at Pro Renata Farm Brewery, Glass Betty at the Heritage on Main, Lord Nelson's Leftover Party with Big Mama Shakes, Gold Connections, and Lord Nelson at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. And also on November 26th, Dance Me to the End of Love, a Leonard Cohen tribute featuring Devin Sprawl, Lauren Hoffman, Coda Carey, Alethea Leventhal, Keith Morris, and other local musicians at the Ix Art Park. Janie, send me a lock of your hair. Every Tuesday, it's a traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, the Open Mic Night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. Every Wednesday, of course, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura. The Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. On Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And, of course, it is our man with the plan, the John Dearth Quintet down at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. If you are an artist and have an event and want people to know about it and want us to tell them about it, we want to tell them about it. www.facebook.com/homegrown/WPVC. Tell us on Facebook or hit us up with our handy dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. What are we doing? Who knows what we're doing? What we're doing? I know what we're doing. We're hitting that. Blue Moon Diner is nice enough to support local and visiting artists this week. It's Mojo Pie on Tuesday and Jim Wave on Wednesday. Strangely enough, they don't have an artist on Thursday. I don't know if there's something happening on Thursday that keeps them from doing. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. But then you go Blue Moon Diner. Check them out. Or maybe not check. I don't think we can say check them out. No, we can't say that. But Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner. But we can say check out Sunday Morning Wake Up Call following this show. Directly afterwards with your host, Rick Moore. Today, the people from Big Blue Door Improv, doing improv and storytelling, as if scripted stuff was going out of style.
It's new time.
I think it's time for us to welcome our next guest. Coming in from Four County Players, representing their current show, A Charlie Brown Christmas, Edward Warwick White and Hannah Vitiver. Welcome to Homegrown.
Thanks, Clinton. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you guys?
I'm great. Good, at least.
Yeah, I feel great.
Hannah, say something to me. Say something. Let me see. Make sure your mic is tuned.
Say something.
There you go.
Say anything.
There you go. Your mic is going. Good, good, good.
Good, good, good. She does the whole thing and realizes she never was recorded.
My God. And it's like... She's going to give us like the low voice. She's going to give us like the sexy, like, low voice.
Good morning.
What can I say?
How you doing? It's like, oh.
So, Charlie Brown Christmas going on right now at Four County Players. How was your opening?
It was great.
Oh, it was so fantastic. It was nice to finally have an audience to, you know, laugh with us and sing with us. And
yeah, and opening night was completely sold out, which was great. And it was a ton of new faces and children and families. And I knew people were going to come, but I wasn't sure if they'd come before Thanksgiving, because you got a lot of the folks that are like, too early. You go in Michael's and you see the Christmas decorations and you're like, cat hiss. You know? Not at all. But the people need a little Christmas, and I think people want to be happy and have a good time. So the people came, and the cast was amazing. We were very proud of them. It was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So what was it? So you've been working on this show for how long?
Oh my gosh. When did you guys start rehearsal?
Oh, a long time ago. We started in September. I want to say we had our first meeting.
That sounds right. We had a production meeting, like designers, in August, which is really funny because we went to the director Jane's house and we watched the movie, or the TV special, of course, and she had like gingerbread and cocoa and all of the treats and like some of her Christmas decorations out, and it was adorable, but it was hilarious because outside it was like 70 degrees, but it's Christmas in here.
That's where I was going. Like, you guys have been doing Christmas for a minute.
For a long minute.
It's been Christmas in Barbersville for a while now. So.
Christmas time is still here.
I know.
You're full of present cheer.
Merry Christmas, Charlie. No.
So how are you going to sustain the jolliness? How are you going to sustain the jolliness through the run of the
what
show?
Jolliness? Have you seen the show? It's a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, but it's
classic Charlie Brown. It's about vaguely dealt with depression before we had medicine to give to kids for anxiety.
Oh.
Sad. I think that's on you, Pigpen. How are you gonna sustain the jolliness through the
that's a lot of pressure there. Thanks. No, I think it's just all of us really love the show and we joke around a lot. And I think that helps keep us kind of happy and uplifted when we say ridiculous things to one another and just kind of...
No, Hannah, you joke around?
Never.
No.
Super serious.
I can't imagine a dime when you would joke around. That's so not you.
Not at all. Super serious.
Can you tell Hannah and I have... We've met.
No, that was news. I was surprised.
That was news?
Hold me over.
Okay, well, hold on. Hold on. Put the chair behind
lots
you.
Lots of things this morning.
Because, no, seriously, you know, I have to, you know, full disclosure. Hannah and
You're
I...
You're not actually related, are you?
No. Hannah and I lived together for like a year.
So,
well, there you go.
Like that. Get your minds out of the gutter.
I feel very left out here. This is not just kidding.
You can come live with me now.
Welcome to our show.
There you go. I know. It's the Leslie and Hannah show.
Right to you. And Edward and Clinton.
Special guest.
Featuring.
Yes. Yes.
Just kidding.
Yes, this is what it was like in our house when we lived together.
Great.
All the time.
So speaking of this show, so it's based on the beloved cartoon, Charlie Brown Christmas, which has been playing yearly.
50 years. For 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah.
Even horribly hideous, cynical people such as I love this cartoon.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, we people who do theater, we're used to doing stuff that is cherished. We're used to doing stuff that is significant. But a lot of the stuff that we do, to be honest, that's cherished and significant is cherished and significant for theater people, mm-hmm. right? There are not a lot of, you know, people just walking up and down the street who are like going, oh, you know what? God, I really love Hamlet. Man, that is just, it really holds an important part of my life, and I can right. really measure a lot of significant, you know, benchmarks in my life by my relationship with him. That doesn't happen.
Right.
But this is like that. So was there any concern with trying to present this thing which is so iconic, and which is so not just loved, but so set in people's minds as a mm-hmm. particular thing? Mm-hmm.
I think absolutely. So I designed the set for the show, and it's
tell me about that.
Yeah,
challenge.
so that's it's a weird mix of like the beauty of having it all there. Like, sometimes you get a title and you're like, oh my gosh, what do you want to do with Macbeth? What do you want to do with Hamlet? Like, what's the setting? What are the colors? But like, to be able to watch the special, look at all the coffee table books, I mean, it's there. But the stakes are so high because people have that expectation. They want to see the tree farm. They want to see right. the wall. They want to see the doghouse. They want to want to know where they are.
And
they're going to
exactly
be like, where's the snowman?
How high do you make Snoopy's doghouse?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it's too big, it's going to look freakish. But if it's too small, no one's going to buy that.
Right, exactly. And you want that moment where, I mean, we all sort of think about, you know, I remember, you know, you always had to know, like, when it was going to come on TV. And you, like, got in front of the television and you were ready and you hoped it wasn't the same night that you had, like, your school Christmas program or the parade and, like, your mom had to record it on the VHS tape or whatever before it was available. So, I mean, you need that same thing. It's like, what's our version of, you know, the credits rolling and it's snowing and you hear that same kind of Vince Guaraldi music you played. And, I mean, people want that, and we wanted to give that to them. And it was exciting but kind of scary at the same time. It was, you know, yeah. And I was very fortunate to have a wonderful master carpenter, Melinda Smith. I don't know if you guys know her. And she's wonderful. Like, just took everything that we dreamed up and made it happen in real life, which is awesome. And plus, I just love kind of the gender role reversal. Like, I mean, people, because she was there, like, with the tool belt, like, knocking it out, building the doghouse. And I'm like, I'm going to make this pretty. Like, you know, and like, look at these ornaments I bought and these colors and all these things. And I'm like, who run the world? Girls. You know, so it's just like... So my hands, I bow down to Melinda Smith for making it happen.
Man, once it becomes a Beyonce Christmas, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's next season.
No, seriously, I don't think anyone is surprised that you, Edward, were the person making everything pretty.
Oh, like, well,
I mean, that's what you do.
I appreciate that.
Yes, we bow to you, Edward.
Yeah, there we stop.
So may I float you a difficult question? Every once in a while on the show, we give our guests... a difficult question.
Uh-oh.
Can I float you a difficult question as a designer in that space?
We'll try.
Which is this, the first of all, lovely space.
Yes.
The main space. We're talking, and this is the main space of Fort County,
correct.
Not the cellar.
Correct.
But the main space, the main stage. Wonderful space, warm space, just a really nice space to be in. I've mm-hmm. directed there, I've played in it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yes.
However, it really lends itself to a tripartite approach to designing, right? Because you've got the center stage,
uh-huh.
which is that proscenium, but then you've got those two wings, which are so capable of holding scenes and mm-hmm. holding significant set pieces. It seems like, to me, that presents a bit of a trap for designers, and I want to know if you agree, because sometimes you can think to yourself, oh, you know, I don't have to worry about this scene change. I can just put this scene over here at the end, or this scene over here at the end, and if it's a scene that you don't that's only like once or mm-hmm. maybe twice, suddenly you've got all of this set that just sits there.
Right. Sure. Yeah. No, and I absolutely agree. And it's funny, the last time I directed on the main stage, I didn't use the wings at all because I wanted to sort of bring everything in for a smaller show. But I did use them for this, and. I often think about that, like, you put all these beautiful things out there and they sit there and people like, when are you going to use them again and all that sort of thing. And I think we found fun ways, so I won't give a lot of it away, but we did use the wings. And I think it really helped with this show because there's surprisingly a lot of travel, even if it was a cartoon, because they could just move people across.
And I watched
the special so many times, and my first question, I mean, this is off topic, but I was like, where are their parents? There are never any adults. And I mean, like, it's like nighttime.
The world of peanuts,
it's nighttime and these kids are in a field with a Christmas Christmas tree. And I'm like, and who gave them the auditorium? They're five.
Right.
Like, what? Where are they putting on this Christmas special? Like, and when the director is like a first grader, like, I don't understand.
You just got to go with it.
You just got to go with it.
That's
you got,
the buy-in.
That is the magic.
That is the buy-in
right.
for this whole world.
I know. So you just got to go.
These
exactly.
aren't the parents you're looking for.
I love it. I know.
Move on.
I know. I'm the wah-wah. Okay. But so, for example, you know, let's take the tree farm with all those colorful Christmas trees.
Yeah, yeah.
I love because they're just so visual and so kind of pretty and pops of color in the show that we put those, that is on one of the wings, but that's also where the band is. So the band is nestled in the tree farm.
Aww.
So they're there and they've got the like Christmas tree farm lights above them and they're surrounded by all the colorful aluminum Christmas trees, but then the Peanuts join them
right.
later. So the area gets used and then we sort of did something else on the other side, which also I think opened up with Jane as the director to have, because, you know, in the cartoon, you know, you'll have things going on, like the kids are skating, but then they can immediately cut away to Charlie Brown at the wall, but then we could still use sort of center stage for Skate Land while maybe that other kind of side scene's happening over top of the music on the side and folks could travel through the audience. There's a lot of cool yeah. things she did with it, but yeah, that's always a concern.
I love that the band is in the tree farm. That's
I know.
Just so adorable.
What a pretty little place to play. You know,
it's kinda... I know. How could they ever get depressed that they've been doing Christmas since August?
Exactly. I think it's been great for a lot. I mean, it's kind of funny that that's the whole premise of the show is this guy who's having a hard time finding the Christmas spirit. And right. I think it's been great for a lot of us with everything going on in the world and just real life anyway, just to have, I mean, I've loved having little happy peanut snow globe land to escape to every weekend to work.
Right.
I don't miss like painting every morning, but I'm glad to like, you know,
it's coming
I've been glad
handy.
To have it. Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's been good.
Hannah, speaking of challenges, you as a performer,
yes.
and tell us the role that you're playing.
I'm Pigpen.
Oh,
she is amazing.
Yes.
She's amazing.
I'm the dirty one.
I can't. There's so many places to go with that.
It's a family show. Let's take. Let's go.
Like, wow. G-rated.
I'm standing at the tracks.
Right.
And the trains are
going by. Right.
And so many of them go.
Wow. Yes, you are the dirty one. But there are kids. There are actual kids in the show, right?
It's a pretty adult.
Yeah,
no, not adult show cast.
Cast, but
it's an adult cast.
It's everywhere yeah. from I think we have some teens yeah. up until.
Well,
adults,
yeah, the youngest cast member just turned 18 like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
so now right. the backstage so, talk is really taking.
So that's right. my question is that you're facing what people who've done musicals like You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. Have faced that challenge. What is it like to try to play these iconic children as adults? And here's the thing, because
yes.
Peanuts kids aren't like other kids,
no.
right? There's this weird, and that's part of, I think, what made them so engaging is somehow Schultz was able to strike this strange mix of adultness and kidness.
And kidness, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think
no one else has done.
Right.
At least not in that way.
It's mm-hmm. It can be very difficult, especially with something that everyone knows. You know, it's often when you're an actor, they say, take this part and like kind of make it your own, you know, how would you see this character saying this line? And in a Charlie Brown Christmas, you don't get that because there are going to be people that can literally quote the whole 30-minute special
yeah.
start to finish. And if I say my line differently with a different inflection or intonation or something, they're gonna come up and say, well, you know, that's not how Pigpen says it when they're in the auditorium. So
right. And it'll be a 5-year-old who says that, who
right,
calls you
it
out.
Be.
It'll be like, you know.
If you're playing Linus, you can't make the choice saying, that's the spirit of Christmas, Charlie Brown!
Exactly.
Right? So you have to. So we spent a lot of time, Jane, our director, actually gave us all a CD, which was just tons of Charlie Brown clips and other specials. And, I mean, basically every video of Charlie Brown that exists is on the CD that she gave us.
Oh,
and
wow.
she was like, watch it.
So did you guys work to get that Charlie Brown voice? Because there is, and I don't think I've, heard or seen anybody talk about this or write about this, but there is that voice. There is a particular sound throughout the generations, throughout, through, I mean, even into the most modern movie, that particular sound of Charlie Brown kid voices.
There, so yeah, we actually spent a lot of time making our voices sound kid-like, but then also with that adult aspect. So there, it was a lot of time watching the videos and saying, okay, how do I get my voice to sound like that? So for me, it was a little bit trickier. I didn't have the foundation of growing up watching this, you know. So
what?
I'm Jewish. So, you know.
She doesn't do the whole the tree and the, that she doesn't. No. She don't do that. She lights the candles. You know, the pretty candles.
The menorah. I'm explaining it.
There are no Jewish Peanuts characters, are there?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh my gosh. It shocks me that there are no Jewish Peanut characters. But two, it shocks me even more that I'm only realizing this right now. Whoa.
Boom.
Who knew that Christian mind blown. Was so deeply embedded in me,
right? Well, so I came late to the party, so I felt like I had some catching up to do. So I was, you know, quickly I was like trying to delete
right, so
YouTube
Charles
it.
Schulz hated Jews.
Right.
And
No, we cannot extrapolate that.
He was in California, like he didn't have Jews around him.
No. Oh my God! No.
But what you said about the voices, I think, is really important, and I think it's great they spent so much time doing that, because when we were doing a lot of research on the show, it was the kids that did the original special were kids from his neighborhood.
Yes,
that he just knew because because he didn't want adult actors, and he's like, we need to capture this childlike, you know, essence and innocence. And he's like, how are we going to do otherwise? And a lot of the kids were too young to read the script. Yeah. So they had to, like, basically do, like, repeat after me. Because, like, I mean, like, some of the kids were, like, five and, like little and, like, littler. And couldn't read. I mean, how was Linus going to...
That's precious.
How was Linus going to do his whole, like, Luke, you know, speech or whatever? And it's... So, yeah, it was such an important part of the beginning that I think it's great they spend so much time taking that into account this time.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
We can't wait for you to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
It's a really fun show.
The theater's done a lot to sort of, I think, build it in as an experience as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very long show because the TV special wasn't very long. The whole thing runs about an hour. So it's one act. But then the great thing is you can stay after the show. There are carols. And then you actually can go up on stage and have your photo taken with the doghouse and Snoopy or with Lucy in the psychiatrist booth or Charlie Brown in the Christmas tree. So it's very, like, a nice experience for families. Bring the camera. Lots of holiday goodies, cookies, candy canes,
cookie,
cocoa.
Can we go? I want to have my picture taken with you and Snoopy's dog.
It can be your official Clinton Leslie Christmas card.
It's past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your show about local art. And if you're just tuning in, I'm trying to dodge a bullet. And enjoying our wonderful guests, Edward Warwick White and Hannah Vitifer from Four County Players, where we're talking about the show that's currently running right now, their Christmas show, A Charlie Brown Christmas. So tell us more about the after. How have people responded to that? How the audience responded to that? And how has the organization responded to that? Because usually, in terms of theater, like, you're done. Da-da. You take the bow.
Get out.
You go out. And you're
don't
like,
touch
oh.
the don't right. t- don't touch the costumes. Get out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I need to put on my costume and go get something to eat because I haven't had anything for the last 6 hours. Because none of us eat before we perform.
Yeah.
All right, actress. How do you feel about all that?
I think it's been a great experience because you don't. Typically, the people that are waiting for you once you've changed out and taken off all your makeup and everything are just like your friends. So you're not getting to see the, you know, regular audience member who just came to see a fun show. So, you know, Megan invites everyone up and we quickly race down the aisles to help guide people. And there was a super small kid last night who couldn't have been maybe more than like 7 or 8. And, you know, he said something and it was my line from the show. And then his dad responded and said the next line that I say from the show. And it was really awesome to just see that these, you know, people that I don't know from Adam come up and they're like, oh, what a great show. I loved it so much. I loved your costumes. I loved your cloud of dust. You know, I loved everything about it.
You have
it.
A cloud of dust?
I
really?
Do. I do have a cloud of dust.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
We have to go
it's
see
awesome.
It. It's awesome. We have to go see it. Please, can we go see it?
You,
please.
You guys know
please?
Trisha Emlett. And she did the costumes, and they pop right off the TV. I mean, they're amazing, spot on.
Yes. Please, Clinton, can we go see it?
Phenomenal.
Why do I always have to be part of you going to see something? You can go see it. I don't have to be there.
You don't want to go with me?
Of course, I want to go with you. There's nothing else that I would rather do than go with you to see anything.
Then we can go see it.
Of course.
Yay!
Yay!
But it's been...
Yeah, and I think the nice thing is because it's not a very, like, long show, mm-hmm. you know, the additional time of hanging out, I think, is
nice for folks. You know, we're not exhausted when we get off the stage, and so we're...
It's not 11 p.m., and it's like, in time for the photo op. And you're
right,
like, when is it New Year's, Charlie Brown?
Right.
It's like, you know, and you're like, we're done. But, oh, man.
No.
But no, it's been great. And a mom this weekend, when they got off the stage, she's like, hope you guys realize, she's like, for him, she's like, getting his picture with Snoopy is a huge deal. Like, she's like, do you guys are probably like, this is great or whatever. She's like, right. But he'll remember this. And right now he's like on cloud nine. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun to be able to do that for people.
It is.
That's great. So
you had fun cookies in the bistro too, right?
Yes.
Oh my we
delicious
do.
Fun cookies.
Oh my gosh, crazy! And we didn't even we knew that was happening, but not quite. So we wanted to add some extra holiday fun for the bistro. And there's a photo booth, and there's mm-hmm. cocoa and kind of holiday treats. And one of our board members got a young lady, Emily Frobaum. She's like, oh, she's going to do Christmas sugar cookies, and then she dropped them off. And she's doing it every weekend. And we opened the box, and we're just like, boom, mind blown. No one could see my little hand motion there on the radio, but
on the radio.
I know, right? good.
But actually, we'll I'm going to stop you. Don't describe them. If you want to know what was so mind blowing about, and they are.
Oh
I've seen pictures.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
yeah.
You have to go.
Yeah, you got
to
come
to Fort County.
Come get a cookie and see the show.
Come get a cookie, stay for the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, pretty incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the first cookie strategy in order to...
I know, right? We're like dangling cookies in front of people.
I don't know. Fort County is so far away, isn't it? But there are cookies.
I know.
There are cookies. Well, if there are cookies.
I know. You're like, it's Thanksgiving in Charlottesville, but it's Christmas in Barbersville, so come on out to the country, and we're...
Okay, so how long is the show running?
Do you want me to go?
That's right. Take it away.
It is running through December 11th, so it's on the weekends. There is no Black Friday show, just because we want to give folks a day with their family after Thanksgiving and all of that. We'll be back that Saturday until the 11th. And tickets are flying out the door, which is awesome. We have a lot of shows that are approaching sellouts already, and the people are coming.
I can't wait to go see it.
Happy Peanuts Dance. There you go. We can all do that.
That's a Peanuts Dance?
Hannah, you can't see us either.
She doesn't know because Pigpen always plays the bass, so she doesn't really get to
do it. I know, I have my stand-up bass.
Right. Oh, okay.
And her cloud of dust.
Multiple Saturdays were spent between Edward and I making my stand-up bass.
And that's I've never seen a cast member invest so much in her own like set pieces and props, which was awesome. Like she cared so much about her bass and her snowman. And but then it's great because when she's up there, it's like it's her stuff, and she put a lot into it, which is great.
Oh my God. Hannah, thank you so much for coming on Homegrown.
Thank you guys.
Thank you
for having
us.
All the best for the rest of the run. This is gonna be great, everybody. Go see Charlie Brown Christmas at Four County Players. 53 minutes past the hour. It's time for Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Why, thank you, Clinton. It's been a week, right? Yeah, so we saw a leader of the Klan placed in a high position in our government. The legendary jazz singer Sharon Jones passed away, and Kanye West, of all people, decided to talk politics on stage at a concert in Florida. Guess which one I want to talk about. You might be surprised. None of it. I don't want to talk about any of that. I am sick to death of trying to make sense to these people who obviously have no idea how to be human. I have no interest any longer in trying to make them comfortable or explaining things to them in a calm and non-abrasive tone. I'm done. You hear me? Done. What I want to talk about is you. Yeah, you. I want to talk to all my artists. Gather around the radio for a minute. No, a little closer. I won't bite. Well, unless you ask me to. I want all of us to gather in a circle of creativity and make art like we have never done before. I want all of us to take the frustration, anger, and disillusionment we all feel and make something that will shake the world. I want all of us to come together to do this. I want us to collaborate without ego. I want us to laugh and cry. And then I want us to channel all those feelings into a work of art that moves people like they have never been moved before. This world belongs to us. It's the only one we'll ever have. If it's not what we want it to be, it's our own fault. And the time for sitting back and relying on someone else to fix it is over. It was nice to rest. Everyone needs a rest now and again. But it's time to go back to work now. It's time to wipe the sleep out of our eyes, have a cup of coffee, and go to work. And the thing is, I know we can do it. Artists are the most resilient, strategic, table-flipping people I know. We change the meaning of words just by the way we say them. We can create a new meaning for a play by the way we present it. We can change the way someone else sees everyday objects by the way we sculpt with them. We can move people to laughter or tears by the picture or painting we create. And we need to stop believing that we are not as powerful as we are. We are the creators of this world. And I don't know about you, but the turn it has taken does not suit me. It makes me scared, not only for myself, but for everyone else too. It is unacceptable, and we can do better. We must do better. We must ensure that the humanity of everyone is not ignored. And I don't know any group of people more capable of doing it. We are the heart and conscience of this world. We keep it breathing. We keep everyone honest. And there has never been a time in history more important for us to take that responsibility seriously. So I want you to promise me something. Promise me that you will commit to making art that educates and enlightens. Promise me that you will support your friends as they do the same. Promise me that you will stand up for one another. And finally, promise me that you will never forget that a small group of dedicated people can change the world, because that's the only thing that ever has. And that's the Weekly Rant.
Well, well, well said, Leslie.
Oh, well, thank you, Clinton.
But you know who I really put the blame at the feet of for this situation? For us needing to wake up? For us needing to gather together and do what we have to do?
No, who?
Barack Hussein Obama.
Seriously?
If he had not come along looking so genteel, so Mr. like Kenyon Sidney Poitier-esque, then we all wouldn't have been dulled into a false sense of security during all this time.
I don't
thinking that things were so good, we would have been ready to fight. We would have been ready to go. That's the problem going on. In fact, I'm going to go find this son of a gun.
No,
because I think he's probably just a plant try to get us in a false sense of security.
Clinton, no.
Get ready for this.
But there's secret security involved.
Oh,
okay. OK, Okay, well, the good news is that I don't think Clinton's car can make it to D.C., so, you know, I don't think we're going to have to worry about him being stopped by Secret Service and, you know, killed. So, you know, that's always good. So I want everybody to stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Rick Moore. They're talking to Big Blue Door Improv, our buddies. That's going to be an awesome show. We want to thank Sally Rose from Shagwolf, talking about her new album, Salvaje, which means savage, for those of you who didn't Google that earlier. And we want to thank Edward Warwick White and Hannah Vitiver, the set designer and act and one of the actors from A Charlie Brown Christmas out at Four County Players. It's currently running through December 11th. Take a moment, go out there and see it and have some of those cookies. All right, you guys have an amazing week, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.